The sports desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batiste says, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Thursday, October 7th, 2021. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 221 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to the second podcast of the week. Hopefully you enjoyed the rundown of the unofficial, official, I think it's now becoming official, Big Ten media poll, preseason media poll, rather. It was interesting. I'm back home after having covered Ohio State's day at Big Ten Media Day. The Big Ten this year has split Media Day into 2 days. Ohio State was on Thursday, both the men's and women's programs. This was a new development this year, something that's not been done before, where they decided to host Media Day for both genders simultaneously, which meant when you're talking 28 teams, that was just a little bit too much to try to all do in one go. So we got half the teams on Thursday. The other half will be on Friday. And I did not stay for Friday. And the way it kind of played out, I'm feeling even better about that decision, because the format was just more difficult. And nobody wants to hear about reporters complaining about their jobs or how they do their jobs. So I'm certainly not going to here, because at the end of the day, I still have the best job that I could ever possibly have. But the setup was just a little bit different this year. It wasn't as conducive to getting one-on-ones and just kind of little nuggets here and there that you would normally get from these types of settings, when you can get a guy for, you know, 2-3 minutes on your own just to ask him about, you know, wearing a different jersey when he was deciding what school he might choose, or, you know, a connection you might have with someone who used to play at Ohio State. Like, there's always little things like that that I like getting out of Media Day. And the format this year was you had multiple players from each school sharing one table, and then there's like a rope a couple of feet away, and then reporters stood behind that. And I understand COVID things and everything, but you couldn't get up close and really get questions. And you had players at other tables, and volumes were at different levels. And sometimes you could hear guys, sometimes you couldn't. There was a lot, and I still came away with some really good stuff. And I'm really excited to roll it all out here in the next couple of days, frankly, in weeks, as we get closer and closer to the start of the Ohio State basketball season. But I'm here now, sitting actually in the Jardy minivan in the Jardy garage, because I took the opportunity to get home just in time. I made it just before both my boys went to bed. So I got to see them and get them to bed, and that made it worthwhile. It's going to be a very late night, but it was good to get to see them before I work all night, and my wife as well. Great to see her. Missed her. So anyway, here's what the setup. I went over what the setup was like. I've taken a fair number of videos that I've posted to my Twitter account and also to dispatch.com. And again, stories are coming. There's a lot to break down from today. This was the first chance that we had to talk to Chris Holtmann during the preseason. So I'm going to run down some of the top things that he had to say, some of the most important things he had to say about a team that at the time of us speaking to him was 6 practices into the preseason. And then we also had EJ Liddell and Kyle Young, both of whom shared a table, and had some really good conversations with both of them. There's a video that's posted of about 15 minutes of their sort of press conference together. And I would encourage you to go watch that, because it was pretty funny. Chris Holtmann decided that he wanted to give those guys a little bit more of their own spotlight. Everyone gets half an hour. In the past, it was an hour. Another reason why it didn't quite flow as well and wasn't quite as beneficial as in years past. But Chris Holtmann wanted his guys, he didn't want the people that were there to cover Ohio State to have to choose for that entire half an hour who they wanted to talk to. So he let them talk for about 10, 12 minutes or so before he started his own press conference a couple tables away. But before he did that, he jumped in the crowd and then asked each of them a question. And I would encourage you to go find the video. It's at about the 9 or 10 minute mark. I've posted it to my Twitter page, and it's on YouTube as well. But it's pretty funny. You can see a little bit of the dynamic there as far as why Chris Holtmann seems to really like EJ Liddell and Kyle Young, and why they both, you know, really like their coach, and part of why you want to come back and play for a guy like that. There was some good insight there, and I'll write about that here in the next few days. That's on my list of things, but I would just encourage you to go check out that video if you can't wait. It was interesting as well that there was no announcement from the Big Ten. There was no preseason poll in any way that was officially released by the league. Normally, I mean, for a while, they would release projected standings, and then they would announce like a top three, and then they stopped doing that entirely. But they would announce like an all-conference team. And I can remember 2 years ago being at Media Day, and they announced like a 10-member all-conference team, and it was a joke. But I do think that this unofficial official media poll that Brendan Quinn at The Athletic and I have been doing for 5 years now, I think that's becoming the official poll. Like, I feel like we've hit some sort of level of legitimacy, which is wild for me to think about. And there's definitely some pride in that this, you know, we're producing something every year that there is value to and that people take seriously. But that kind of hit me as the day went on, that I heard a coach or two reference it, like where they were picked in the poll, and someone referencing being on the first team. And I thought, hey, maybe we've arrived. That was kind of a cool feeling, I'm not going to lie. I try not to have an ego about this kind of stuff, but it is neat to think that we're doing something that is gaining some traction. So we're going to get into, like I said, everything else that are the main points that Chris Holtmann hit on. And I apologize that my brain is, as you can hear already, just a little bit off. It is rather late in the day on Thursday, and the day started at like 5 something in the morning. So still have some more stuff to do before or after I finish the podcast, but hopefully this isn't too off the wall, and hopefully you still enjoy this. Before we get into everything that Holtmann had to say, I want to remind you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, and wherever else you enjoy the finest of podcasts. We are less than a month away from the first Ohio State exhibition game, 1 month from the first official game of the season. And if you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest podcasts as soon as our guy, Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, publishes them. While you're subscribing or downloading, please leave a review. Please click 5 stars. And as always, please consider telling a friend. Thank you to everyone who's taken the time to do one or all of those things. So we're going to lead off with the backcourt. The probably the point that I keep hammering home the most as we go through this season or this preseason, and just trying to figure out what that's going to look like. And we talked to players at Media Day at Ohio State, which was 9 days ago, and they hadn't started practice yet. So, you know, there's some guesswork and just a lot of, well, you know, we'll see when practice gets started. We just don't know too much until we actually start practicing. So this is our first chance to kind of take the temperature of how things are progressing. And here's what Chris Holtmann said when I asked him about the backcourt and the progression that he's maybe seen during the preseason. He said, "I'm anxious to see how it continues. I'm anxious to see every day when we come in. We've had some great competition. We have some answers there. We're not there yet. I think there's more things happening early in the season that would signify a younger, maybe more inexperienced backcourt than we've had in the past. We're turning the ball over a little bit more. There will be some things we'll have to work through that you work through when you have a new and inexperienced backcourt. I think it's a backcourt that by the end of the year has the potential to be good. Jamari is going to settle some things for sure. I think we've got some answers there, but it's going to take some time." I had a follow-up, which was that if you're talking about guys in the backcourt turning the ball over too much, is that the result of Jamari Wheeler guarding them? And he said that is part of it. He said he's been a problem with his ball pressure. "I think in general, we have to be better on that end anyway. Not just in terms of our turnovers, but we just have to be better in the backcourt. He's been a problem, which is going to get guys like Michi and those guys a lot better." So that leads into the next takeaway, which is get a little bit more of a look into what Michi Johnson's role might look like this year. And it's just such a fascinating deal for me when I think about him, because we saw him in very short stints last year, which was very much about getting his feet wet and just getting him acclimated. But it had been a long time since he'd played. You know, he had played some AAU ball during the summer or the spring of his junior year of high school, which ended up being his last year of high school. But I don't know that we yet have a real good grasp on, is he a point guard? Is he a combo guard? Do they prefer him at one or the other? Can he do both? So this is what Chris Holtmann said today about what Michi's role might look like. He was asked if they want him to be out there making plays, being a playmaker for guys. And Chris Holtmann said, quote, I do. He's going to have to do that for us. He'll run some point, but whether he's running the point or not scoring, sorry, make sure I'm reading this right. He'll run some point, but whether he's running the point or not, scoring is going to be an important part of his role this year. We'll need that from him, either at the point guard spot or the combo spot. He's going to grow into a bigger role, so there will be some stuff that naturally we'll work through. We're going to need a lot more from him than what we needed last year. That's just the reality. And I think he's ready for it. As long as he stays healthy, he's poised to have a good freshman year. And they're counting this, they're describing this as his freshman year, which is confusing because he was a freshman last year. This is going to be a confusing thing, I feel like, for a few years. With the NCAA giving people extra years of eligibility, I've just sort of decided I'm going to start referring to people as third year, second year, first year, fourth year, whatever, because otherwise it's just getting so confusing. But they are counting him as a freshman. They're describing him as a freshman. So he did mention as long as he stays healthy. So I did ask Chris Holtmann, is anybody besides Seth Towns injured? And he said no. He said there's been some guys that have maybe had like a touch of a flu or something to where they've stayed home for a day, gotten a COVID test just to make sure it's not that. But he said, no one's injured. He said that he was asked a little bit more specifically about Seth Towns and how he's handling this setback with the back surgery, which again, he's expected to be back roughly mid to late December. And Holtmann said, quote, I think he'll handle it fine. It's not a season ending surgery. He should be able to play for at least a half to two thirds of a season. He understands that. It's not like this is the first time he's gone through an injury. It's a separate injury than his knee. I think he'll handle it with the kind of maturity that he's handled the previous one. And he's going to come out on the other end of it really well. So then he was asked, well, what does 100% Seth Towns look like? And Chris Holtmann said, I don't know yet because we haven't seen it. But his knee was the healthiest it's been late summer since his injury. I think he can get there. I just don't know what it looks like exactly. Now, when Chris Holtmann had his 10 minutes at the podium, which was streamed on the Big Ten Network, and you can watch the full video of that on our website as well. He was asked about like the transfers into the program, Cedric Russell, Jamari Wheeler, Joey Brunk. And Holtmann said, quote, those guys have been good for us. Jamari's one of those kids that's an everyday guy. You want him next to you anytime you're competing and doing anything. He's really helped us. He brings a lot of juice to practice every day. I think Joey is a guy, as you know, who came from a really good program in Indiana, and he had success on their team that was certainly going to be a tournament team. This is back 2 years ago when the tournament was canceled. Cedric, I think, is finding his way. Anytime you jump up a level, it takes you time to find your way. He's in the process of doing that. So later, when Chris Holtmann was at the podium, or excuse me, at his table, he was asked a little bit more about Cedric Russell's learning curve. And Holtmann said, he just has to get comfortable with the pace and speed of this level. The length, size, pace, and speed of this level. He's a great kid. He'll continue to grow and learn. But I think the size, length, and speed of this level is just a little bit different than what he consistently saw. But he's a really good player, and he's going to be fine. We'll see his best basketball probably mid-year on. I could really see that with him. That does make me wonder just a little bit, and it's not apples to apples because he came from Wake Forest, but he did bring up Keyshawn Woods at one point in an unrelated topic, just talking about transfers in general and how helpful they can be and how they don't make the NCAA tournament in year two if Keyshawn Woods doesn't play the way that he played. And so just always nice to get a little bit more of or another like Keyshawn Woods flashback because, man, that dude was fun to watch. Sticking in the backcourt, Holtmann was asked about Malachi Branham. Something to the effect of, is he on schedule, behind schedule, ahead of schedule? And Holtmann didn't really, he was polite about it, but he didn't put a lot of weight into that question. He just said, try not to put freshmen on schedules. They're going to run their own race. We'll have him run his own race. He's had some really good days. Then he's had some days where he struggled, but some really good days. One other thing, one last thing from Chris Holtmann here before I take a quick break. As you can tell, I'm losing my voice again, which is frustrating. But he was asked about the offense without Dwayne Washington. What does that look like? And he said, I think Dwayne and CJ, because really they balance us in a lot of ways. CJ's ability to get us what we need to get, but also we're going to be a little different because EJ, while he played the four offensively, he was always guarded by the five. And now we're going to be playing typically a bigger lineup. So there'll be a little bit less of a mismatch potentially at times, but I still think EJ is going to be able to take advantage of that. I think this team is good offensively. Last year, we were elite offensively. Are we going to hit that level? I don't know, but the challenge is, can we be better defensively? And I will say that was something that both EJ and Kyle said right off the bat that the first 6 days of practice, there's been a lot of focus on defense. That's really something they've been hammering on. You can tell that it's being emphasized that this team cannot be as porous defensively as it was last season. So we'll see what that looks like and how that plays out when they actually start playing other teams and things, but that at least through the first week of the preseason, that was the first thing that both Kyle and EJ drew attention to, was that they're really, really focused on their defense. And I do think that that EJ point about playing the four, playing the five, that's going to be an interesting subplot this season. I think that how well he can do that and what sort of mismatches he can create and how well he can defend from the four, that's a big question mark for this team. I think he can do it. Can he be as effective as he was last season? I think we're going to have to see it. But EJ's taken a step, or he took a step as a sophomore, and I know he's pretty darn motivated. And I think there's certainly the opportunity there. And I think he's the first guy that you write in the starting lineup in ink and just go with it. And he's going to start at the four, and he's going to play the four, and we'll see. But that remains a question at this point of the preseason. Just how effective can he be, and can he be as effective as he was last season when he was taking advantage of some of those mismatches he might not get quite as often this year? So now I'm going to take something from my throat real fast, and we're going to give some love to the sponsors, and we're going to come back and finish off with a little bit more stuff from Media Day in Indianapolis.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. At Rosati Windows, their commitment to the customer has not changed since day one. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he appreciates each and every one of their customers. At Rosati Windows, they pride themselves on their very high standards of business ethics and customer satisfaction. They are accredited with an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, a top business with Consumer Choice, and voted by Central Ohio as the best in business in the window category with the Columbus Dispatch. The list goes on and on, but it's important to point out that their customers voted for Rosati Windows for these awards, and it's why they can make a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
So Media Day began with a 30-minute press conference with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. And I would say roughly the first 15 minutes of it were him kind of addressing a wide variety of topics, including why the Big Ten decided to host men's and women's basketball media days simultaneously. And he said, quote, "We're coming up on 50 years since the passage of Title IX that provided women the opportunity to compete from an athletic standpoint. We made a lot of progress, but we have so much progress left to make. One of the things we want to do at the Big Ten is be leaders in this area. We can all do better, but it is a focal point of us to do it. That's one of the reasons we're here today in this environment, to show that we believe in equality, that we can all do better. That's why we wanted to have this media day where both our women coaches of our programs, our men coaches, our women student athletes, our men student athletes could come on the same stage at the same time and be able to share their stories and be able to promote their individual brands. We wanted to do it together. It's the first of many things we will do together with our women's and men's basketball programs." So put a pin in that, and we'll see what that looks like going forward. He also mentioned having the Big Ten Network this year, 52% of its programming will be devoted to women's athletics. That's a very difficult statistic to try to really kind of wrap your head around or fact check or put into context. But it's a good sign, and I think the Big Ten deserves credit for something like that. And I think that's one step of many toward toward full equality here. So something to keep an eye on when you're turning on the Big Ten Network this year. You will see more often than not, you will see women's sports instead of men's sports. He was asked about expectations for the season, and he said, "I'm confident this year will be even better, that we'll have teams in the Final Four from a men's and women's standpoint. We'll have teams who will be able to compete for the national championship. I'm really excited about this upcoming basketball season." So there you go. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren says the Big Ten will have teams, both men's and women's teams, in the Final Four this year. We'll circle back on that in March. And then finally, I ask this question because I feel like as conference realignment talk continues, and as people debate what moves could or could not happen and what people are looking for, you hear a lot about football and you hear about academics. So my question, where does basketball fit into this? Because I keep hearing that like Kansas doesn't make sense to join the Big Ten because their football program is so poor. And I think like, man, give me Kansas in the Big Ten. If like, if we're really doing this and there's really going to be even more change, I would love to get to see Kansas basketball on a regular basis. I mean, who wouldn't? If you like college basketball, you want to see an elite program like that. So here's what Kevin Warren said to my question about what role does college basketball play in talk of realignment. He said, basketball plays an important role. It's a very popular sport. I just know from the overall college landscape, people are passionate about basketball, especially I think what you're going to see this year, because you've seen it in football. We always have had passionate fans of college athletics, passionate Big Ten fans. It seems like there's an elevated passion this year. That is one of the things I'm looking forward to, is to be able to enjoy that as we get back into our arenas. But I think from a basketball standpoint, that is a big component from kind of conference structure, realignment standpoint, is the importance of college basketball. I think people are going to see that this year, the interest from a fan standpoint. There's a lot of pent-up emotion. People are looking forward to seeing our student-athletes play and our coaches coach. So in short, what role does college basketball play in realignment talks? I have no idea. I don't see anything in that answer that honestly means anything other than people like basketball. So maybe that means that it doesn't really have any factor when it comes to conference realignment talk. But I was very disappointed in that answer. I was hoping to get something more substantial than that. So as you can hear, my voice is completely giving out on me. So I think this is probably a good time to cut this one short. There will be more next week. We will have a chance to watch a little bit of Ohio State practice later in the week. And I'm going to have a lot of content coming out of still Ohio State Media Day and Big Ten Media Day. And I can do that without my voice running out on me. So please continue to check dispatch.com and BuckeyeExtra.com for all of your basketball coverage as we inch closer and closer to the start of the season. And there'll be some women's coverage as well. I did speak with Coach Kevin McGuff and the two players that they had there. This is my brain is completely giving out on me, but there were two players and their names. One was Braxton Miller, because I always remember her name, and JC Sheldon. They were both great interviews and got some really interesting stuff. So look for stories, several stories on the women's team here also as we go through the preseason. I apologize for this episode being a little scatterbrained between the voice and the lack of sleep. I'm doing my best for you. So as always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting through this with me. Thank you to Patrick Flaherty for trying to make this as polished as possible. I'll be back with you next week. Until then, thanks.
The Buckeye Extra podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.